Welcome to Can Queer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
And I am Sebastian.
Hello, Sebastian.
Oh, this should get closer. Yeah. I need to bring this closer to my face.
You need to, like, just be all up in that mic's business.
Just make love with the microphone.
Make love to the mic. Hello, mic. Do you give me consent to make love to you?
I mean, it's a microphone. I mean, I think consent is implied.
Well, you know, you have to ask permission.
That's true.
Now, we are, as per our norm, we are starting this week's show about LGBT topics completely and utterly off topic.
Right? Okay.
Yeah. No, because we're talking about mics.
Oh, yeah.
Now, it's been a busy week.
It has. There's actually been a lot of news here in Ottawa.
Absolutely. So for folks who may not know, this show is recorded not where you're listening, unless you're one of the few listeners in Ottawa. A lot of you would be listening, maybe you're listening in Halliburton, maybe you're listening in Vancouver.
We got a lot of people in BC.
Absolutely.
We got a few people overseas Sweden, as well, yeah.
Yeah, good to see you in Sweden. We see you in Botswana, our listeners in Botswana.
If you're listening to us right now and you are not either in the North American continent, or even if you are in North America, if you're not in our time zone, message us on Twitter or Facebook.
Yeah, @TalkCanQueer.
Let us know who you are and why are you listening to us? And I mean that in a good way, not like, how dare you, but more like, what do you win
from
us?
Maybe you're listening to us on Freedom FM or Free FM in New Zealand. One of the stations that carries us. Yeah,
I forgot that we broadcast in New Zealand.
They have an election on right now. It's quite exciting.
Do they?
Yeah, they do.
From what I understand, New Zealand has basically just been a series of coalition governments for like the past 30 years. They've got a million parties, and it's always like the following 15 parties have agreed to form the government.
Well, we haven't looked into the New Zealand political system, so we can't dive in on that right now.
That's me using my vague memory.
Yeah, you're pulling things out of your... And we're moving on to our next topic. So, on the way here, we had the most exciting walk to work in terms of, like, our walk to the radio show today.
We have started a new tradition of...
I love this tradition.
...of brunch before we come out.
Usually, gays brunch on Sundays.
Yeah.
But I need time to edit the show, so us gays brunch on Saturday.
On Saturday. At a local called the Moondog, which, for the longest time, you're confused about the weirdness of the interior decor.
I thought it was a front for organized crime, because it looked a bit run down. And
it
I'm
does.
Like, how are they making enough money to stay open? It's quite a prominent street it's on.
Moondog is a famous jazz artist from the 30s. He was sort of a contemporary of Dr. Sax and Jack Kerouac and all that. And he was known as the Viking of 34th Street, I think. It was the Viking of something or other street. But anyway, I always just assumed that place used to be a jazz bar. When you look on the inside, it looks like somewhere that used to be a jazz bar and now is a Greasy Spoon.
Mm.
So I think it used to be a jazz bar and now they sell like Hungry Man breakfast.
Yeah.
And then we go there. Anyway, on the walk afterwards, you were like, we should grab an Uber. And I was like, we should probably burn a calorie because we just ate a lot of grease.
It's true.
On the way over, we encountered a crowd.
We stumbled upon the Dyke March.
The Dyke March, yeah.
Yeah, as one does.
As one does. And yeah, it went well, I would say.
So that was the Dyke March. Now, some of their chants were not radio-friendly.
No. Quite funny, though.
They were hilarious.
Yeah.
And it's quite a radical march. So the difference between the Dyke March and the Pride Parade is... And what I find really strange is seeing Pride organizers there, and I'll get to that in a second.
Oh, yes.
Is that the Dyke March is very much an anti-capitalist, this is a protest, we're marching for a reason.
Yeah.
And there's no police presence. They're just strolling down the street, chanting and making a lot of noise.
Well, the main difference between a protest and a parade is that the protest technically is considered spontaneous, even if you agree to meet beforehand. Even if there's like it's in the community calendar and everybody knows when it's going to happen. But because it's spontaneous and because you don't have floats, you can't have floats.
Mm.
It has to be on foot. There was a few things that in the march that I was like, that makes so much sense. The people in mobility devices were at the front to set the pace for the whole parade.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, actually, that makes so much sense. So, but yeah, I mean, other than the mobility devices, it was all on foot. And because it's all on foot, it is not a parade, which means you don't have to get the paperwork done, and you don't need to pass it through City Hall, and you don't need to do this, that, and the other thing. It also means you get to just choose your route and just cross an intersection. And traffic is not going to go simply by merit of being a couple hundred people blocking the intersection.
Yeah, and there was easily, I'd say, 150 people in this particular march that we witnessed.
Yeah, and it was, I mean, it took maybe 2 minutes for the whole parade to walk past you because they're all clustered together, and the streets in the area they were marching are pretty wide, so they could easily just cluster together. And everybody, all the traffic, they just seemed sort of bemused, like, oh, look, a bunch of lesbians walking by.
My favorite moment was this, like, old beige sedan with like an old couple in it who were like pulling in to take a right-hand turn, and then the lesbian march like caught them in the middle, and they were like trapped in the middle of the dyke march.
Yeah.
And he was like trying to awkwardly back up, and it was just everyone's going marching around like, you know, we're here, we're queer. And, you know, it's, and that was hilarious to me. This just, you know, you're driving to work, you're on your way to get a pizza, and then you're stuck in the middle of a lesbian march.
But I think the fact that most of the cars were, because there's good honking and bad honking, and it's just a beep. So, I mean, it's hard to tell. But, you know, like the beep, 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 as opposed to like beep. So, yeah. I mean, people were doing joyous honking.
I loved the dyke march. And you know what? With everything that's going on, and we're going to touch on this in just a few moments. Mm-hmm. You know, for me, it was a wonderful celebration of identity.
Yeah.
It was political.
Mm-hmm.
You said there was a change in my body language at one of the speakers. We actually didn't stay for all the speeches
because
this will also come up a little later. But at this, before they started marching, they stood and they were chatting. And one of the hosts, one of the speakers that they brought on was a woman who had, who when they were two or three, the family came over from the former Yugoslav. And her dad's been deported.
Yeah.
Her mother's likely to be deported. Because they're the former Yugoslav, they're technically stateless right now.
Yeah.
So despite living in the country for 23 years, they are facing deportation.
Yes.
So it was a very prominent discussion about, you know, their right to reside and the fact that they're deporting people who have no memory, knowledge, or even citizenship in the country they're sending them to.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a really interesting discussion, and it was really a moment of the, you know, lesbian community in this case really coming together around that. It was a very powerful speech. And that's what I think is what helps to set aside the Dyke March from the Pride Parade, is that it is very political.
Yes.
It is very, you know, they've been going, this was the 15th one in Ottawa. It's been going much longer in Vancouver, longer in Toronto and Montreal.
For sure, yeah.
And the difference between the Dyke March and the parade is how it always has something to say.
Yep. And there's no corporate presence. There's nobody, like, nobody is hitching themselves onto that to sell products.
Yeah, it's not, you know, the Dyke March brought to you by Lush.
Yeah. Or TD, it'll be TD.
Yeah. Brought to you by any random
TD bank. Literally, TD Canada Trust, for those of you not in Canada, is a it's a bank in Canada that literally has an exclusive monopoly on Pride in Canada.
It is astonishing. They do put a lot of money into Pride parades. They're one of the key sponsors in nearly every parade in the country.
But I mean, you know, not to be a cynic, but they also put a condition that they will only give you money if you also not accept money from any other banks.
Yeah.
So I mean, there's
banking exclusivity.
Yeah. There's a that's definitely capitalism right there. They are not doing it just for the joy of helping out. Mm-hmm. They're also doing it for the exposure and for the marketing.
I was, when I was working with Pride in Ottawa a few years ago, one of my favorite moments, it just stuck with me, is that there was, people were freaking out because the Royal Bank of Canada, RBC, they didn't sponsor because, of course, TD had monopolized the sponsorship. So they just had all of the homos in all of their branches.
Oh, yeah.
Just like a massive contingent of RBC employees that just like totally outnumbered the TD contingent. Like, they were there, they were loud, they were proud, and they were just making a lot of noise. And
I mean, I'm all in favor of like there's nothing wrong with necessarily doing things in secret. Like, one of my favorite things, one of my favorite stories about this is after Princess Diana died, one of her biggest charities for supporting child victims of landmines overseas, their income was completely stable after she passed, which surprised a lot of people. But do you know when her, when that foundation took a dip in income? It was after George Michael died. So it actually turned out that after Lady Di passed away, George Michael just like threw all his fortune behind it as an anonymous donor. And they only discovered that he had been secretly funding this from the shadows after he passed away. And they're like, where did the gap in money come from? And then some accounting happened and they figured out it was him. And I think, like, if you are a corporate entity who truly cares, I mean, the fact that TD has put an exclusivity deal on being a sponsor doesn't mean you can't just give money. And I think that there, from what I understand, there are like LGBT caucuses within various organizations in Canada who are
working groups
employee, who are sort of
employee support groups,
funneling money towards pride organizations, even though they're not necessarily allowed to announce that they are.
I had an interesting conversation with a local gay business owner. And this is, this kind of goes back to the
I was in the room at the time, wasn't I?
In the room, And we were chatting with this local gay business owner, and he hadn't even been asked to sponsor. You know, and I think that defeats the purpose. It's great to have TD there. And I think this is really why the Dyke March is needed. It's because, you know, you're looking at your TDs, you're looking at your big businesses. You know, we're a radio show. We have trouble getting access, or we used to have trouble getting access to the Pride Parade because the big commercial stations lock them up in exclusivity deals. And it's like, well, but we're here 375 days a year. Where are these other guys?
And like that? Also, like, I mean, last I checked anyway, you are gay, aren't you?
Well, yeah.
And so am I.
I'm a practicing homosexual.
So, I mean...
quite well practiced, if I mean, myself.
And this is something that kind of bothers me. And I mean, I know I've mentioned this many times before, but like, I come from a family of like working class small business owners. So for me, supporting local small business is pretty key. Like, there were, when we were shopping around for places to do our brunches, actually, one of the first things I said is I refused to go to Cora's, mostly because they, you know, overcharge for disappointing food, but also there's so many local places we can go to.
Not brought to you.
Not brought to you by Chorus. There's so many local small businesses that we could be supporting. And this is, even when I sat on the Pride Committee, I was like, we need to promote small businesses. Because let's say, you know, there's, you know, some trans woman who's trying to start her own business, and then some of the profits are going to go towards like handing out free binders to teenagers or something like that. Like, that is a worthy cause.
Well, actually, that is the case with
That is Venus literally Envy. Happening. Yeah, at Venus Envy,
and I think it's a lesbian couple that owns that.
And the small business owner you're talking about the other day, I know for a fact he has donated to local charities and local organizations.
It's a huge supporter.
So, I mean, anytime you have local small businesses, I mean, you are supporting the community. You're helping bring other LGBTQ people out of poverty, because, you know, people associate business owners with wealth. But if you own a boutique and you sell candles and books, you're not going to be a wealthy person. You know, these are people who started a business that they care about, and they make enough money to pay the rent. And, you know, you are probably bringing somebody out of poverty or increasing the quality of life for someone. So I was like, you know, we should put the small business owners, you know, in the front, but they don't give as much as TD Canada Trust.
I mean, I think everyone, you know, all our listeners can get behind the sort of buy local ideology. And I think, you know, with community radio, which you may be listening to this on, there's a place in our heart as community radio for connecting with community.
Yeah, the kind of person who listens to community radio is almost guaranteed going to be the kind of person who supports local business.
Buying produce from the local farmers market, you know. It is expensive to buy from small local business. Actually, you didn't comment on my shirt. It is one I purchased from the small local gay-owned business.
I mean, it's a bit loud. I didn't want to comment on it.
It is loud. It's been words on it, because this radio is an audio format, so you can't see my shirt.
Yeah,
but it's got like flowers and birds, you know. It's in the style. I saw this style about 2 years ago when I was in the UK, and that sort of photo print quality shirt,
it's like Victorian wallpaper.
It is, but some of the shirts in the UK are such a high quality print on the fabric.
Yes.
It looks like a photograph.
Every Brit that I've met in Canada wears loud print colored shirts.
But it's not just a loud print. It's like, because when you think loud print, you're thinking sort of like cotton.
Or like a Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But no, these are almost photo finish wildlife thing. This is not it. I'm not wearing it. but I fancied that shirt, that style of shirt. And when I was in the UK, I was like, I'm going to buy one of these because it speaks to me. And I didn't, and I was disappointed. But then when I was in this locally owned gay business, I was like, you know what? I'm going to buy this shirt. It was not cheap, but I'm glad I did, even though apparently it is loud.
I mean, you know, I wear pretty subdued clothes, generally speaking. And it's because when I was in high school, I used to wear shirts twice as loud as the one you're wearing now. Mm-hmm. And then a friend pulled me aside and said, okay, Sebastian, here's the thing. You have a pretty boisterous personality and you're a large man. Mm-hmm. For those of you who don't know, I am a large man. Tall and husky, basically, an imposing figure. Mm-hmm. And she basically said, you
more
can
lumberjack, less bowling ball.
Yeah. No, not butts and guts. Just a big lumberjack
broad
lad.
Shoulders,
yeah.
We come from a family of lumberjacks, and that's okay.
My grandfather's literally a lumberjack and log driver on the Ottawa River. Yeah. And she said, you can be loud or you can dress loud. If you do both, you're overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And I started dressing in like gray and navy and people don't see me coming because I show up looking conservative.
Oh, you're like a cat. Like, sometimes you give me a heart attack and you just sneak up behind me.
It's not on purpose. This is a few people have mentioned that.
I've been meaning to put a bell on you.
Former roommates have all said they are alarmed by how cat-like such a big guy can be. I'm just not loud when I move. Like, you know how some people like stomp their feet as they walk? Like, the people who live downstairs from me probably don't even know that I exist.
Mm-hmm. Very soft. Well, we're going to jump to our first song. This is by one of my favorite bands, Partner. We were listening to their album that came out in 2014.
Yeah, we were listening to a whole bunch of their songs. Some of them are not radio friendly, but
they're just hilarious.
They are funny, yeah.
Everybody Knows is one of my favorites, and it's about how everybody knows you're stoned, because when you go to the I don't know, like they say about how they do 13 bong hits, go grocery shopping.
Yeah.
And then the whole song is about how everybody knows they're stoned.
And you look like the Big Lebowski. And
yeah, it's kind of hilarious. But we're not playing that one. This is one of their new tracks called Fun for Everyone, Minions. And it's about maybe one of these days, everybody should just dance like a minion and just like let go, have fun, relax, take it easy. Well, actually, that's a Mika reference, which is coming up later.
Yeah.
But this is a great track.
I mean, they could have also called it Go Jogging Like Phoebe Buffay.
We should write them a letter note. This is Partner, Fun for Everyone, and we'll be back just after this.
Do you ever want to just dance like a minion and not give a care about anyone's opinion? To be honest, I haven't seen the movie, but I think those little guys look groovy. And I don't want to see nobody having no fun, so I won't stop till I get my job done. Do you ever want to just dance like a minion and not give a care about anyone's opinion? It would be
fun, fun, fun for everyone.
What's going on? Don't you want to dance to a real fun song? Good times roll all around. Stomp your feet to the feel-good sound. Jump up and down on your bed. Dance with the lampshade on your head. Feel elated, feel alive. Come on, get down to a real good vibe. And I don't want to see nobody having no fun. And I won't stop till I get my job done. Do you ever want to dance like a minion? And not give a care about anyone's opinion?
It would be fun, fun, fun for everyone.
Down.
Hello and welcome back to Can Queer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
And I am Sebastian.
Now, big, huge international news, also out of Ottawa. And that is the mayor of Ottawa, the Honourable Jim Watson. That was the most British pronunciation of his name I think we've ever...
Jim Watson.
No, he's a great guy. We're hoping to get an interview with him for next week.
We reported on this last week, though.
Yes, we did. Yeah. How it was not a big shock. But it's
continued
to reverberate in the news as a result. And like I said, we're hoping to get an interview with him tomorrow. Here's a quick clip, I believe, of him speaking at the flag raising that happened. So a lot of towns and communities, maybe if you have a pride where you are, the local council may raise a ceremonial flag. Yeah. They do that outside City Hall here in Ottawa.
Yep. So the rainbow flag is up.
You're not there because you're the worst.
Well, I am literally the worst, yeah. Currently, the rainbow flag is 4 flagpoles over from what I'm pretty sure is the Ukrainian flag. There's got to be a delegate or something in town. So, it's on the same row of flagpoles as, like, the Canadian flag, the provincial flag. All the flags are there. And there's the rainbow flag just to... Yeah. It's pride.
So, the city of Ottawa has a lot of flagpoles. I think they must have, like, broke the bank installing. There's, like 15 flagpoles around the like garden-y area.
You almost said slag poles.
What? but no, it's there's like 50, and then there's the Canadian flag, the provincial flag,
and when they have too many flagpoles, they just put up the city flag, which is that O.
Yeah.
Which for the longest time I thought it was bad design, and then I looked at the city flag for other cities and I was like, actually Ottawa's not that bad in the grand scheme of things, because there's some ugly flags out there for cities. Yeah, look it up, actually. It's not that bad. The design is not that bad.
Yeah.
It's not as nice as Amsterdam, though. They have a beautiful city flag.
So this is a quick clip of Jim Watson speaking, and we'll be back just after this. Buildings.
And some people have asked in the past, why do we need to do this? Why do we need to have a parade? Well, we saw the disgusting acts that took place in Bell's Corners, and that's why we have to celebrate pride, and that's why we have to remain vigilant in our opposition to those who spew hate towards members of the community. As you heard on the weekend, I wrote a piece. It's been 40 years that I've been in the closet. I'm a little bit of a late bloomer, my family tells me, but better late than ever. I'm very proud to be a member of the community, and thank you very, very much for the warm welcome. Merci beaucoup. Thank you.
So somebody else who was speaking at the flag raising is Lisa Wright. R-E-I-T. Never quite sure how to pronounce that. Lisa Wright, who is the member of Provincial Parliament for Ontario. Ontario Provincial Parliament. She is the member for Nepean. Now, in Nepean, which is an area in Ottawa, it's the sort of... The mini city that was to the left of Ottawa.
It used to be amalgamated. A separate town, but it was basically a village, and they all smushed together. And there's no point.
So unlike Toronto, which swallows everything in its path, Ottawa briefly had a go at that and amalgamated. Folks in Vancouver know that as well. Like Burnaby's kind of swallowed in as well.
It takes 4 hours to drive across Ottawa now. Because it swallowed up so much countryside.
Yeah, that's true. So, but that's not surprising. So in Nepean, there was a drag queens reading fairy tales to children.
Yes.
Now, this is not a new idea. We've seen it all over the States. It's starting to come up in Europe. A lot of other Canadian cities have had these as events.
Do you know what just occurred to me just now?
Did they hurt?
This is a... new Canadian development over the past few years, this drag queens reading to children thing. And it just occurred to me just now, this might be the Canadian analog to the panto.
Mm-hmm. So the pantomime.
Yeah.
So the pantomime in the UK is, there's always
especially for Christmas.
The ugly stepsisters.
The Christmas panto is
drag.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Every famous British actor you know and love, if they're worth their salt, they have been in a panto at some point in time. And they're a comedy thing, and there's always one role that is always a drag.
Yeah, and it's usually like the like I said, ugly stepsister,
yeah.
or the grandmother or mother.
Right? Yeah.
And it's that kind of the slapstick drag overperformance of it.
Yeah. And it's either a gay man who's actually done drag before, or it's a straight man who's the last person you would expect to see do, like Jason Statham doing drag. Like, that's the kind of thing
that
you'd
would
see.
Hilarious.
That would be fantastic.
I would pay to watch that. That'd
I mean,
be great.
It being the
move
the,
over Hobbs and Shaw. I want to see Statham in there.
Statham doing a panto. Absolutely. I think he'd be hilarious because he would ruin it, and that's the point.
I think there are. I have seen pantomimes in Canada. Some of the small community theaters do have them, so do check them out.
But like,
you are right.
There's this idea that you know it's broadcasting the wrong image to children that you're having a drag queen read
a
story to them.
Well, that's where the story goes.
Yeah.
Here. This performance and just. Just for our listeners' sake, this isn't a recruitment method. We're not like handing out pamphlets. Like, drag queens reading story times are not Jehovah's Witnesses out the door. Like,
no.
It's not that approach.
No.
And the whole point of it is drag queens, because sometimes the terminology gets confusing for people.
Mm.
Drag queens are men, nearly always gay men.
Usually gay men, yeah.
Who are in the clothing of the opposite gender for entertainment.
Yeah.
So that is distinctly what drag is.
And it's usually
entertainment.
It's usually like femininity ratcheted up to a level where even women are like, whoa, that's too much for me. Like big hair, big nails, big makeup.
It's the overproduction. It's the theatricality of it. It's, you know, think back to like the Second World War, you know, the entertainers on the front. It's that sort of overproduction.
My favorite is when you talk about natural born drag queens. So Dolly Parton is a drag queen who just happened to be born a woman.
Absolutely.
Because she is like a woman times a million to the point where it's a comedic representation of what a woman is. Yeah. But that's just Dolly Parton.
And we do get drag kings who are women who overperform masculinity. And there's some really great, funny drag kings out there. It's less of an established field.
Yeah.
But essentially, a lot
Pork
of people.
Pork and Beans
think
is the only one that I like locally.
So a lot of people think of like RuPaul's Drag Race and stuff, but that's when we're thinking about drag, it is the impersonation of women for entertainment.
And there's different traditions. So historically Canada historically patterned more like Britain, where it was more like a stand-up comic.
Yeah.
It was and it was a stand-up comic without a set, so it was more about riffing with the audience. You'd show up, you'd interact with the audience.
Like Lily Savage, Dave Edna Smith.
And you would
oh, Dave Edna, sorry.
Generate your comedy from your interactions with the audience. It's not like a traditional stand-up comedy. And then the idea of like lip syncing, that's not that Canada doesn't have that history. Canada has more history of female impersonators, so people who actually sing. And the lip-syncing thing is predominantly American, but it's sort of bleeding out throughout the rest of the world.
Is,
So the idea of a drag queen reading a story to children, they're basically just doing a PG version of their usual stand-up act, and it's
doing the voices, the over-theatrical presentation of the narrative.
They're basically like, it's like hiring a clown for your kids.
Absolutely.
Except clowns are creepy. And drag queens are just hilariously inappropriate.
But more appropriate with a child-friendly audience.
Yeah.
Now, the reason why this comes up is that Ottawa organizers had known that a rather extreme religious right group were planning on interrupting various Pride events. They've been doing it up and down the country this past summer.
Yeah.
And a individual who had identified as a Christian interrupted this. There's a video of it that we'll put on our website, kanqueer.news. This individual interrupted this drag storytelling,
and
you know,
belligerently,
kind of, you know, speaking over everybody very loud, calling the drag show child abuse, which does have a criminal definition of which telling a story in drag is not it.
No,
you know, and really what's interesting is that the drag queen in question was like, if you want to talk about this, let's talk about this outside. This is a room of children.
Yeah.
And you're being belligerent.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, you know? I do support the right to protest because that's why we have rights, you and I, because somebody in the past was told they didn't have the freedom to protest, but the law protected them. So, I mean, it's kind of unfair to go through the door and then lock it behind you. But on the other hand, if you're doing this, quote unquote, to protect the children, don't start yelling abusive things in front of the children. It's just you're defeating your own purpose. Absolutely. You're undermining your own message. If they did hang out afterwards and have words with the drag queen, like, I think you're doing something horrible, then they would have been able to defend themselves away from the earshot of the children.
Yeah. And do have an explanation like what we did, the theatricality, the media industry, etc. Now, this is some of the reaction from the community. So these are community leaders, even MPP Lisa Wright, who is the MPP for Nepean I mentioned earlier. Mm. This is some of their reactions to this Christian interrupting the drag storytelling.
On Saturday, ill-intentioned people attended a community drag story time event in Bell's Corner. They interrupted the event, spewing hatred and violence. These actions have no place in our community. That children and their families be targeted specifically is deeply troubling. But we recognize that members of the 2SLGBTQ+ community, indigenous communities alike, racialized people, immigrants, and religious groups face that all the time. These acts are aimed only at silencing and dividing our communities. But guess what? We won't stay silent. We will unite, and we will not stop our efforts to build a more inclusive society. We're queer, we're here, and we're here to stay.
So I had a chat with Hannah, who is one of the executive director of the Ten Oaks Project, and they provide camps for children of LGBT families or LGBT children themselves. So just like, you know, maybe you have a kid who's not quite sure what's going on, or you're two lesbians and you have a child, and you want to have an environment, a camping environment that, where that's not even a question, you know what I mean? Where they can just camp and it's like, oh, you have two mums or whatever. That question doesn't come up. That's what this camp does. It's great. So they have a family picnic here in Ottawa. It's one of my favorite events. I wasn't able to get to it this year, unfortunately, due to other obligations. But we always wax poetic about family picnics, pride picnics, those like small community building things.
Mm-hmm.
So after this Christian radical showed up at the drag storytelling, everyone was worried about this picnic, because this is where, you know, same-sex adopted parents are coming and having a moment together. Yep. This is, you know, the local grocery store sponsors it, and they have like a barbecue. It's a beautiful event.
Generally considered to be Ottawa Pride's most successful event every year.
Mm-hmm.
Generally. I mean, it depends on the year. Sometimes things happen and you get a special guest and then things happen. But it is always one of the most successful events of the year.
Most well-received.
Yeah.
People, it's just such a good, homely event.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Well attended, all Absolutely. That. Yeah.
Now, they were worried because there was talk that these Christian radicals were going to be coming and interrupting this event. Now, the police, at the request of the Ottawa Pride
committee
organizers, increased their presence. Why don't you tell us a little bit about how that happened?
Well, actually, during the Dyke March, we saw a bunch of police sort of over the hill, and we went over and chatted with them, and it was the exact same thing. They're always line of sight, but they're never on the site. Mm-hmm. So the Ottawa police have sort of, they've been doing this for years, but this year it feels more obvious, partly because we've been looking for them. But they're always nearby, but never in the crowd.
Yeah, and at a discreet distance.
At a discreet distance. And so the park that the family picnic usually happens at happens to have a stone wall around it. It's a walled-in park. It's a huge park, but it also has this lovely old-fashioned stone wall around it. So they really only needed to monitor the access points.
Mm-hmm.
So they could be two blocks away, and so long as they had line of sight to that archway, then they knew what was going on. And they were sort of dotted around the area, and they weren't close enough that people who feel uncomfortable around police didn't really feel unsafe, because it was always like way over there. But it was also people who didn't want to go to an event without a police presence felt safe, because the police were line of sight. So they've been trying their best to split the difference between all these different concerns about like not wanting to go to Pride without security, but also people who don't feel comfortable with uniformed police officers. And they've been trying to balance that. And I mean, as far as I can tell, like the police that we spoke to today, they're just like, yeah, you know, we keep our distance. We interact with the traffic. We don't interact with the marchers. And if something comes up, it comes up. We deal with it.
Well, the other thing that stepped out, which I think was really, on this show, we talk a lot about the bad news, things oh, yeah. that go wrong.
Oh, yeah.
And it's because bad news bleeds, you know, it's...
And
it's,
good news is when nothing happens absolutely. Half the time. So, I mean,
it's... One of the things that we've heard here in Ottawa, one of the things that we've heard from Hamilton, from the folks down in that way, and just all, like, even, you know, feedback from, like, Minden and stuff, is that these are instances where things have gone... not great. There's an awful interruption. There's protesters. And those are the things that grab the headlines. But what's interesting about this, which has been replicated nationwide, is that although there may be one or two just mean-spirited people who are out there to ruin it, the Pride organizers and Hannah with Camp Ten Oaks, they put out a call being like, you know, we're expecting a bit of trouble. If you are willing to come and support us, please come and support us. Mm-hmm. And the outpouring, the number of people who showed up in solidarity, who were there to keep an extra set of eyes on things. So there was no police at this picnic.
Not but, at the picnic, but per
se. But
there
were a lot of people watching out for each other. Like the outpouring of community... collaboration was astonishing.
From that perspective, it feels like Pride when I first started going to Pride in the early 2000s, except the difference between then and now is now there feels like there's a lot more police support. So there, it used to be a lot of like within the community keeping an eye out, a lot of vigilance. You'd have like your sort of sentries, for lack of a better term. And then now what we have is we have those sort of sentries on the edge of the event. And then beyond that, we have actual officers who are not technically at the site, but if something goes wrong, 30 seconds and they'll be there. And I think this is a good development. It's unfortunate that we had to go in this direction. And the fact that Pride events are as safe now as they were in the 90s and early 2000s, it's not great, but... the fact that we now at least have some institutional support to some degree, I think it's a good sign that things are not going to get worse.
Absolutely. We're going to jump to a song. This is by Trey Parson. Trey Parson was the lead singer of Everyday Sunday, which was a Christian rock band.
Okay.
In 2016, Trey came out as gay. And this is one of his solo tracks called Hey Jesus. And it's a bit of a narrative about, you know, Christians or... gay people of faith and those conversations you have with God. And it's a new track. It's an interesting one. And I wanted to put this one in here because that awful individual who interrupted that child-friendly event is not representative of people of faith. And I think that there are gay people of faith. There are people of faith who honestly live and let live. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to put this song in here to kind of balance the scales a little bit in the discussion. For sure. And we'll be back just after this.
Hey Jesus, can you hear me now? It's been a while since I came out. I was wondering, do you love me the same? You see, I've loved you since I was young. Tried to be the greatest son. Now I'm wondering, could they love me the same? 'Cause I know that I could never change. I tried so hard, brought so much pain. And I just wanna be loved for who I am. I know that I can never change. I tried so hard and brought so much pain. And I just wanna be loved for who I am. I just wanna be loved for who I am. Way. Do you want me to fall in love to know what it's to love someone else in the most intimate way. 'Cause I know that I can never change. I tried so hard, brought so much pain, and I just wanna be loved for who I am. I know that I could never change. I tried so hard, brought so much pain, and I just wanna be loved for who I am. I just wanna be loved for who I am.
Welcome back to Can Queer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith. The flag raising was Lisa Ray invites the other politicians to come and stand and stand with them and be united.
Right.
Very much the language. And the reason why this jumps out at me is because if anyone's been following the politics of the Pride parades this summer,
yeah,
we've mentioned it a couple of times, our regular listeners may have noticed, but the Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, the leader of the Green Party Elizabeth May, and the leader of the NDP party, Jagmeet Singh,
yeah,
have all marched together as a united group,
mm-hmm,
at these major Pride parades.
But we have discussed before that they're just carpooling.
They are carpooling. They're carpooling Pride parades.
Yeah.
It's less security, well, less hassle. It's,
yeah,
great. They get discounts. It's amazing. So anyway,
they get to go in the multiple occupant lane.
Absolutely, the HOV lane. So these political leaders are carpooling, and one person who hasn't opted to join in,
yep,
is the leader of the Federal Conservative Party, Andrew Scheer.
Yeah.
Which,
and
the other politicians have no qualms constantly.
Yeah, they're pointing it out. And the way that I kind of frame that, because we were talking about it earlier over brunch, and I was like, so on the one hand, I doubt the party would let him march, but on the other hand, Andrew Scheer is not making himself approachable by the community on his own terms anyway.
And that's what Lisa's theatrics, I think, of like bringing the other ones up behind her to literally just point out that they're united.
Awkward to be one of those politicians where you're like, oh, I guess I gotta, like, go up.
Because you're being used as a pawn. Like,
yeah.
If you say no, you look like you're standoffish.
Yeah.
But if you say yes, you're being used as a pawn,
yeah,
by a provincial conservative.
It's to a demonstrate. Little crass.
It was very on the nose,
yeah,
very transparent. And the reason why I bring it up is the conservative, political conservatives and the Pride whole shenanigans.
Yeah.
They're having a bit of a difficult time right now.
Well, even the Conservative Party within themselves, because you have a lot of conservatives who are just fiscal conservatives who are like, we are not here to tell you how to live your lives. We do not care about religion. We do not care about any of these. Well, maybe they do care about LGBTQ issues, but they care about them in the sense where it's like they're a little bit more, what's the word I'm looking for? The libertarian, like, you're not harming anyone. You're a consenting adult. Do whatever you want. I will support you. I will not.
But if you don't balance that budget.
If you don't balance that budget, I do not care. And I mean, that's the kind of, because sometimes I defend conservatives and people like, how dare you? And it's like, well, you know, they care about different things than I do. That's it. Some conservatives, you're completely right. Like, how dare you defend them? Like, I am not defending them. I'm defending these, like, libertarian type of, like, balance the budget conservatives, which I would never vote for, but I don't mind. But anyway, there is a division within the conservative, I guess you could say movement, because you're also seeing it in America, you're seeing it in Britain, you're seeing it in Australia, where you have some conservatives telling other conservatives, sit down and shut your mouth. This is not what we're here for.
There seems to be a schism happening in conservatism globally.
Yeah.
So the reason why I bring it up is Andrew Scheer hasn't marched in any of these parades. And then out of the blue...
Well, if he doesn't care, I don't want him there.
That's fine.
Yeah.
But out of the blue, I think it was Ralph Goldale, one of the federal ministers under the Trudeau government, posted a video from 2005 where Andrew Scheer compared homosexuals getting married to recognizing a dog's tail like a leg. It was a truly bizarre and awkward... It's just a truly awkward example. But what's important here is...
I like how you refer to it as awkward.
At time of recording, like right now as we sit here, at time of recording, Andrew Scheer hasn't said anything about it.
Yeah.
You know, when I first saw this news, I'm like, oh, here we go again. It's the radical left overreacting. Let's all jump on someone's grave before they have a millisecond to respond.
Well, I mean,
my
comeback to that was like, Obama said some pretty cringy things in the early 2000s.
Well, CBC pointed out that 30-odd liberals also voted against same-sex marriage.
I mean, yeah, but time has passed and people change.
14 years, and this is the weird thing.
Yeah, 14 years is enough time. Yeah.
Andrew Scheer hasn't said, mea culpa, you know, that was 14 years ago.
Yeah.
Everyone's moved on.
Yeah.
Canada now is not the Canada of then. It's a different time and space. And I think the fact that there's a silence is weird.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So there's no marching in the parade.
Yeah.
There's no defending or U-turning or evolving from comparing homosexuals to a dog's tail.
Yeah.
Like this, like what's going on here, guys?
Yeah.
You know, and we're seeing a similar one in Australia with the prime minister there was a conservative, kind of moving against homosexuality. And then in the States, we have the log cabin Republicans, which was LGBT Republicans, because, you know, gay conservatives exist. Gay Republicans exist.
Oh, yeah.
And
for
they
sure.
endorsed Donald Trump a week after he pushed the Department of Justice to be able to fire anybody they like for being trans.
Yeah.
Taking the opposite position of established Justice Department policy. And now this week is pushing the Department of Justice to be able to fire any gay person just for being gay. And so the log cabin Republicans are hemorrhaging board members, staff, supporters, politicians, because that's not who they represent.
And here's something
happening.
Luke's partner Jake came to brunch with us, and he actually said something pretty clean and clever about the whole thing, which is like, it is understandable for log cabin Republicans to say, we support Trump because he's a Republican and we're Republican and we support our own team. But they didn't say, we support our Republican leader as president. They said, we support Trump and what he's doing, which is very nuanced, but one is just like on principle and the other one is like, no, we like the guy, and everyone's like, no, this is not what we're here for, which is why they're hemorrhaging, because it, as subtle as it is, the one of like, we support our own, is very different from we don't mind what he's doing. Those are two very different messages. So of course they're hemorrhaging people. They would.
But there's a discussion emerging. I think it was the CBC that ran an article on it about how there seems to be a strategy emerging of the liberals positioning it as a, you know, you have us, but what if you got them?
Yeah.
You know, the boogeyman approach to the conservatives. And, you know, we were around under, we were reporting under the Stephen Harper years. We have lots of shows under the Stephen Harper years. It was not a great time for gay rights.
But it wasn't miserable either.
One of the things that came out is Lisa Raitt commented about investing in the Pride Parade, which is great.
Yeah.
She's now the Minister of Culture in Ontario.
Yeah.
And that was some good news that they were pushing. Any dollar invested by the province is $21 in economic activity.
Mm.
And it was like very much, you know, this is really nice, good news. But within a day or two of this coming out, of Lisa Raitt making that announcement, we hear that now the sex education in the province of Ontario has been re-cemented.
Yeah.
Conversation of gender identity has been pulled from certain grades, you know, and it's affecting real people's lives.
Yeah.
And it's so on the one hand, you're putting a bit of money in and making economic arguments as the excuse thereof, but also putting young trans folks at risk. It just doesn't make sense. I don't know. Do you think there's a schism in the conservative movement?
I mean, I'm not in the conservative movement, but as an outsider looking at it, I can definitely say that this is something that I have been noticing. And I mean, I bring up libertarians because some time ago, I became very fascinated by historical French libertarianism, which is what British libertarianism is based on. And then American libertarianism is based on British libertarianism. So there's this chain of inspiration going on. And the huge gulf between where conservatism was and where it is now. And you have a lot of people saying that, ironically, you know, why aren't we doing things the way we used to do it? That conservatives are like concerned that they're modernizing in a bad direction and that classical conservatism might be a better way to go. It'd be weird for the conservatives to not agree to that, because that's kind of the spirit of conservatism. Anyway, that's a different conversation. But I mean, there definitely does seem to be this huge difference where you have some people basically just saying, yes, but how are we going to pay for it? And then you have other people saying, we don't want society to evolve in a certain direction. And whether or not the government has the right to engage in social engineering, a lot of traditional conservatives, it turns their stomach to think of that. And this is something that the left is kind of into, the idea of social engineering. I mean, that's what the ASBO was.
That's a British social behavior order. Yeah.
Which is so weird. It's like you didn't break the law, but you did a bad thing that should be a law, so we're going to punish you? It's weird.
Just for the sake of our audience, think like mischief and aggressive neighbors and so on. So
it's
behavioral
weird.
Orders, like restraining orders or community service orders. Yeah,
but it's seeing conservatism kind of question, I mean, a lot of that is because in the 80s and 90s, conservatism got taken over by Christian conservatism, or religious conservatism, I should say, which is a very specific brand of conservatism. And now people are saying, you know, the society has rejected that and we need to find a new direction. Well, they don't really need to find a new direction. They just need to find a direction that is not, you know, Jimmy Stewart or Reagan. You know, they just need to find or in the Canadian context, it would be
like Bernier, Maxime Bernier.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like there's other ways of doing conservatism, and we just need to re-embrace that. But the problem is that, I mean, the theory is that Canada doesn't have enough conservatives, so all the different brands of conservatism need to smush together.
Well, there was that amalgamation of the...
Yeah, there's the progressive conservatives, the reformers, and then there was another conservative party. No, the Wild Rose is just Alberta. Oh, okay. There's a third federal-level conservative party, and they found...
Well, just to wrap up, we're running out of time.
Yeah.
I do think that not only are we globally seeing a bit of a split with conservatives falling on either side, and the pride issue really is one...
Multiple sides,
good litmus test.
Yeah.
We're starting to see... We're coming into a federal election.
Mm-hmm.
We do have the People's Party of Canada, which is a much more right and socially conservative group, and then the Conservative Party of Canada, which is, I don't know where they stand. And I think, and that's the point of the show, I think, this week, because with Andrew Scheer's silence up to the time of recording,
it's just one gigantic, what are you doing?
And the provincial politicians trying to juxtapose themselves, as it's just an awkward conversation to be had.
Yeah,
we'll keep an eye on it. We're playing out with Mika's Tiny Love. I love this new track by Mika. It very much harkens back to early Mika stuff. But we've run out of time. We will hopefully have an interview with Jim Watson for next week. And what I want to delve into,
I mean, realistically, it might be the week after.
Yeah.
Coming up soon.
Yeah, it's some interviews with people about why Pride is important.
Mm.
Why should we still be... Should we still be marching? You know, why bother? And I think that in today's day and age, we talk a lot about things that go wrong and things that go right. But why still march? We'll be addressing that next week. I've been Luke Smith.
And I have been Sebastian. And thanks for listening.
It's not a sunrise over canyons shaped like hearts. It isn't bursting into song in Central Park. It's not the outline of your face drawn in the stars. It's a still there Monday morning kind of love. There's no dramatic declarations in the rain. It's not a love that finds its pleasure after pain. I couldn't train a bunch of doves to spell your name. It's a don't know what they're missing kind of love.
Houston. It isn't bursting in song in Central Park. We may be tiny to the world, but in our hearts, we be giants with our tiny, tiny love.